Well, I guess we know the story of Zacchaeus, most of us, if not all. We know the story very well. It's been taught many times at Sunday school. It's been preached on over the 2,000 years. And so I wonder whether there's something else, something we can learn again from the story this morning. We read there in verse 2 that this man called Zacchaeus, he was rich, but he was not. He was a wealthy person, but he was not satisfied. Today, when we talk about the problem in our society, people say, if we just have a little bit more money, then everything will be fine. I meet many people in Rochdale, and most of the young people, they will tell me this, if just I can win the lottery, then that will be the source of my happiness, a happy life. And here we have an example of a man who was a rich man, but he was not. I don't know whether you read the story of the young Scottish man who died, who killed himself about a month ago. He was the youngest Scottish man who had won the lottery, and he won £2 million. And 10 years ago, he committed a suicide, and he left a note saying, "Despite all what I've won, my life is empty." Some people, they say maybe education. If we have a better education system in our country, then all the problems that we have today will be sorted out. And the media, you hear the media, and people are coming with all sorts of solution, one after the other, except the one which will certainly work, which is bringing the fear of God back to our society. What we are going to talk about this morning is, and it's our subject for this morning, is our need of an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our subject this morning. And that's what we all need, Christians and non-Christians, an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we all need every day in our lives. Certainly, the unsaved people need it. An encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how different our schools and society would be if our children, if the young people, if everybody has an encounter with Jesus Christ. So what lessons can we learn from this passage? What lessons can we learn from the story of Zacchaeus here in this passage? First lesson is this. Sometimes our Lord Jesus Christ is sought by the most unlikely. Sometimes Jesus Christ is sought by the most unlikely. And I say this for our encouragement. Because you see, sometimes we forget this and we get depressed in our work of evangelism. If the name Zacchaeus had been mentioned, people would think that's the last person who would be interested in becoming a Christian. Who would have thought that this man, this fellow who was a thief, would one day be interested in spiritual things? If someone had said Zacchaeus was here today, they probably would have said, well, I wonder what he wants now. I wonder why he's here. He might have been collecting some debts now. But who would ever have guessed what was going to happen to this man? And we are, friends, we are to live like that. And we are to serve the Lord like this. Never knowing just what God is going to do. He does the most unlikely thing. Remember, I was in Mali about 2 years, 3 years ago, and the pastor of a Baptist church was telling me the story of a man who was a member of his church. And he says he was so hostile, that young man, but he had a brother who was more open than himself. And so one day the pastor gave the Bible to the elder brother who was open. And the elder brother wasn't interested in it at all, so he left it somewhere in his house. And one day the younger brother, he took the Bible and he read it. And what he read was Isaiah 53. And he asked the question, I said, I wonder who the prophet is talking about here. He knew it was a prophecy. And one day, there was an evangelistic meeting and the young brother went to the church and guess what the pastor preached about? He preached on Isaiah 53 and the veil was taken away. But who would have thought that that hostile man would one day be interested in spiritual? You never know what the Lord might do. And when we are serving the Lord in any capacity, friends, let us be encouraged. We never know what God is doing. And you never know who is seeking Him. You may never know it. Perhaps they wouldn't tell you. Perhaps you wouldn't get the impression that the person is seeking after God. And maybe Zacchaeus himself didn't know what he was after when he was there. But here is a great work which is being done that I don't think anybody in the crowd, anyone would have guessed. And God was working in his heart secretly, wonderfully, working in this man's heart that great work of regeneration. He was bringing this little fella into life, spiritual life. Nobody would have guessed what was happening in this man's life. And God does that sometimes. He does it. Even the people themselves don't know. But God is drawing them. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful that you might be in the most unlikely situation, talking to the most unlikely people, and God may begin to work in that person's life. And we should remember that, and we should be encouraged by that. Because you see, if we forget that, certainly we'll become discouraged and even depressed in our work. There is so much to discourage us today, so much to dishearten us, so much to make us feel, well, is it worth going on? Oh, it is. It is worth. And here is Zacchaeus, all together, unknown to people, and he's seeking after Christ. Don't forget it. If you do, you will be discouraged in your work. So that's the first lesson we learn here, that sometimes our Lord Jesus Christ is sought by the most unlikely. Second lesson is this. No barrier should stop us being in the way of Christ, or the way Jesus. Look at verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4. He wanted to see, that's Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Where Jesus is going to be, you be. Where Jesus is going to speak, you be. Does he speak to people in the quiet time? You be there. Be there. Don't miss it. Or if Zacchaeus had been running about after the money business that day, or he would have missed that opportunity. Be in the place where Jesus is going to pass by. Don't miss it, friends. And Jesus passed in the secret place, where only you and him are present. Nobody there, just you and him. And at that moment, you can't be anyone else except yourself, because you can't hide anything from him, can you? And you know, in the secret place, you can't play tricks with God, that you do it in front of other people. It's just you and him. And he's going to pass by in the secret place. Be there. Spend your time alone with God, just you and him, talking to him, praying to him. Don't let anyone stop you being in the way of Jesus to Jesus. Here is Zacchaeus, who was small. This is the crowd, and here is a small fellow. But he did his best not to miss where Jesus was passing by, even if that meant climbing a tree. Are we in the tree this morning? Are we? Are we in the tree? And Jesus passes in the preaching of the word. Be in the place. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. There is great temptation today to miss the evening services on Sunday. I don't know what Christians do on Sunday evening, but they must be doing something on Sunday evenings. Now, I know that there are sometimes reasons why people can't be in the evening. But there are other people who are doing nothing, watching TV, or I don't know what they're doing. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Be where Jesus is going to pass by. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to be in his way somehow. I'm going to get to him somehow, even if that meant climbing the tree. And that's what he did. He didn't miss it at all. And then you find Jesus in the Bible. The whole Bible is about Jesus. And here is a challenge. Just open the Bible randomly, and you won't have to read very far till you find Jesus in the passage. Be there. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Take time to read the Bible every day, because that's where Jesus passes by. Friends, no barrier should stop us being in the way to or in the way of Jesus. Don't miss the opportunity. Be there. Be there. Wherever Jesus is going to pass by, be there. Third lesson is this. Thirdly, the call of Christ is straightforward, precise, and immediate. The call of Christ is straightforward, precise, and immediate. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. And you see what Jesus is doing here. He didn't philosophize. He didn't say to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, do you understand much theology? No, nothing like that at all. And our Lord didn't say to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, here is a good book there. I wonder whether you read it. Nothing like that. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. And he was, of course, calling him to himself. Come down immediately. And that's what we Christians need to hear all the time. Sometimes we are in the tree of unbelief. Sometimes we are on the tree of doubt. And sometimes we are on the tree of busyness, of life. We are all up in all sorts of trees, and Jesus needs to speak to us. He said, come down and do it now, immediately. Come down and because I want an encounter with you. Come down from backsliding. Come down from your hard-heartedness. Come down from your neglect of the things of God. Come down from your neglect of the Lord's day. Come out of your neglect of my words. Come down and be quick about it. It's straightforward, isn't it? It's a straightforward call. And Zacchaeus couldn't have said to Jesus, please could you just repeat that again? I didn't get it. I didn't understand. It was straightforward, precise, and immediate. Remember someone asked me a question. He said, Hisham, can you just tell me why so many preachers seem to make the gospel complicated? Well, I didn't know the answer to his question either, but I took it a challenge that I must never make the gospel complicated. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, you see, he said to Zacchaeus, come down immediately. A straightforward, precise, immediate call. And it was a humbling call. Just imagine the situation. Here is this little fellow. He was rich, and I suppose Zacchaeus he hid himself. He thought he was hidden. And here is this fellow who had a name amongst people. He was the chief amongst the publicans. He was really quite a big noise. He was rich, and he wasn't in the habit of being spoken to like this as the Lord. And here is a big crowd. Imagine the situation. And Jesus didn't spare him, you know. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Be humbled. And that's what we need to hear, don't we? That's really what we need to hear. Be humbled. To be humbled in our lives. And we need to hear the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us. Come down and do it immediately. Oh, the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. Straightforward, precise, and immediate. And my dear friend, if you are not saved this morning, if you are not saved this morning, what Jesus is saying to you this morning, is he saying to you, are you Catholic, or are you Protestant, or are you Baptist, or are you a member of... No, that's not what he's saying to you. What he's saying is, come down immediately. Do it now. Come down from your unbelief. Come down from your unbelief. Come down from your reluctance. Come down from all that is holding you back. Come down and do it now. That's straightforward, isn't it? That's wonderful. It's the call of Christ. A call of Christ to us all. Come down immediately. And the Bible says it, doesn't it? That's what the Bible says. It says, now is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When is the right time for you to be saved? When? Now. Now is the right time to be saved. You might be young. Come now. You might be just a child. Come now. Or you might be advanced in the age. Come now. There may not be more come nows afterwards. Come now. That's the call of Christ to you this morning. What a gracious God we have. Oh, Jesus could have walked under that tree and he could have glanced up and said, I see him up there, that fellow. I can see him. Well, I leave him there on his porch. What a wicked thing he is. Stealing from people, exploiting all these people. He could have just walked away and probably you and I would have done the same. Would have done it. How wonderful that Jesus walked and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to stop and speak to this fellow. And he's stopping for you this morning. He's stopping for you this morning. He's speaking to you this morning. He may pass by. He may have passed you by. And you know, Jesus is under no obligation to do this, you know. He's under no obligation to save any of us. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. It's all of his kindness. It's all of his love and favor. And he's speaking to you this morning. He's speaking to you and he's telling you to come. And he's telling you to come now. And if you don't come now, he will remind you of it on the day of judgment. He'll say to you, well, didn't I call you? Didn't I tell you when you were in Chance Hill Baptist Church on the 21st of February? And didn't I ask you and where the gospel was preached? And didn't I offer you to come? And didn't I offer to save you? And I offered to forgive you your sins? And didn't I tell you to come? And didn't I tell you to come now? But you wouldn't come. You had other things, other matters in your mind. You were busy doing other things and you were so proud and you were arrogant and you stayed on the tree. You stayed there in the midst of your belief and belief. You stayed there in, I don't need to be saved. I'm not too bad. He will remind you of it, you know. He will remind you if you don't come now. He will remind you of it on the day of judgment. The call of Christ. Straightforward, precise, and immediate. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, or the goodness of God towards us. Fourth lesson, and it's there in verse 6. So he, that's Zacchaeus, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Fourth lesson is this. To obey Jesus Christ inevitably brings joy. To obey Jesus Christ inevitably brings joy. And I don't say it's easy. I don't say it's easy. We hear news of believers, of Christians being persecuted all over the world in Muslim countries. I just heard recently of Christians being arrested in Morocco about 2 weeks ago. I don't say it's easy at all. Why one day give Jesus up? Why wouldn't they just say, okay, I'm going to leave the Lord Jesus Christ. Why won't they give him up? Because they found something they cannot find anywhere else. The joy. They found the joy of God. And to obey Jesus Christ, friends, to obey Jesus Christ inevitably brings joy. In verse 5, what we read, our Lord Jesus Christ says to Zacchaeus, come down immediately. And what does Zacchaeus do in verse 6? He came down at once. In other words, he did exactly what he was told. Obedience. And I discovered this in my life. Those occasions, not many. Those occasions when I have done exactly what the Lord has told me to, they've been occasions of great joy. And when I have neglected to do what he has told me to do, sorrow of heart. The hymn writer, and I'm sure you know the hymn very well, the hymn writer says this, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There are some people who try to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. I promise you this morning, I promise you that if you have one foot in the church and one foot in the world, you will be miserable. You will be miserable. You won't have the best of either. Zacchaeus came down at once. He obeyed and he received Jesus. He welcomed him. In an embarrassing way? No. It doesn't say that. He welcomed Jesus. He received Jesus gladly, joyfully. Imagine that. Just imagine the situation. This chief of the publicans, this fellow who by his own confession had been robbing people, he had been filling his own pocket with their money. Here he comes now and he received Jesus with joy. He received him happily. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this, ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be fulfilled. The whole world wants to be happy. Young people wants to be happy. But they aren't happy, are they? That's why they have to fill themselves with drug. But they aren't happy. They haven't found happiness. Why do people go down to the pub and be drunk and be out of themselves? Because they are not happy with themselves. Ask and you shall receive, says the Lord, that your joy might be fulfilled. And when Jesus said that, when he said, was he lying? He meant it. He really meant it. You may have difficult circumstances, but his joy will be in you. You might have home situations which are difficult, which are breaking your heart, but his joy will be in you and his joy will bring you through. To obey Jesus Christ inevitably brings joy. Fifth lesson is this, and it's found in verse 7. Following Jesus Christ will always draw criticism. Following Jesus Christ will always draw criticism. Look at verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Oh, they knew so much more than the Lord Jesus Christ. They were so clever. You see what he's doing now? They said, you see what he's doing again? Have you seen what he's gone, who he's gone with? He's gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. And that's hardly surprising, isn't it? That's exactly what it says in verse 10. That's why he came for. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came for. Or you, but you who is maybe a religious person this morning who think you can't save yourself, you know what Jesus, don't forget what Jesus said. If you are a religious person this morning, I haven't come to call the good, righteous, but sinners. And Zacchaeus was a sinner. And I have come for him, says Jesus. I have come for people like him. That's what I come from. I've come for. And here the others, they're all standing, complaining and grumbling and muttering. And there was Zacchaeus getting all the good of it. Having an encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would never forget it. We never forget it because it's there in our Bible and it's been preached over the 2,000 years. They criticized Jesus for going with a sinner. And you know they will criticize you as well when you follow Jesus. Just because you are a Christian, they will always criticize you. Maybe you won't hear it. They won't tell you in front of you, but they will criticize you behind your back. Why are Christians persecuted today? Why did they do it? Well, you see, amongst other reasons, if you are a Christian and if you are a Christian in your office, you are a nuisance, you see. They can't talk, they can't say those dirty jokes and dirty stories when you are there. They have to wait till you are out. You are a nuisance to them. And you are also a threat to them. You see, because you witness to them, oh, she's spoken to me again about the Lord. Oh, here he is again. He's going to tell. You are a threat to them. And you condemn them. Because you walk with the Lord and you seek to obey his word and they don't. And when they see you coming to church on Sunday carrying your Bible, they hate you for it. Because you condemn them. And they don't like it. They don't like you for it. So they criticize you. And they even hate you. Do not marvel, says the Lord. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Another passage, he says this. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. It hated him. Here he was going about doing good, healing, transforming, saving, blessing the children, healing the sick, teaching wonderful things. And they hated him. Unbelief is a terrible thing. It's described in the Bible as enmity against God, hatred towards God. Well, sinners prove themselves to be sinners, don't they? By hating the most lovely person that ever walked this earth. James 4 verse 4 says this, he says, friendship with the world is hatred or enmity towards God. Friendship with the world is hatred towards God. So be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you spend time with. Friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Worldly things are God haters. Imagine one day you went for a day shopping. And then you come back and when you go back, you see three police cars outside your house. And when you go and You go to the house, you go in, some kind of officer takes you aside and says, "Would you sit down? I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you. There has been a robbery at your home and your mother tried to resist them, seemingly, and she's been stabbed to death." There were three men seen running in the street, running from your home, and we don't know anymore. Tell me, would you go and have an evening out with those three men? Would you? And would you go and laugh with them and joke with them and enjoy yourself with them when they put the knife into your mother? Of course you wouldn't. You would say it's absurd. The world crucified Jesus Christ and hates him. They put him on a cross. They laughed at him. So can I go and play with the world? Can I go and enjoy myself in the world and joke with them when they are haters, not of my mother, of my God? That's what it means. Friendship with the world is hatred towards God. So be careful who your friends are. Be careful whom you spend time with. You are betraying yourself if you do. If you can go and enjoy yourself with worldly people, haters of God, be careful. Be careful, because if you do, you are proving, you prove yourself to be one of them. So those are five lessons from this passage. Let's look at just the last one, the sixth lesson. Last one, and it's this. Following Jesus Christ will always bring change. Following Jesus Christ will always bring change. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord. Look, Lord. Here and now I give half of my possession to the poor." Something is happening now. Something is happening. When someone starts giving his money away, you know that something is happening. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Sometimes certainly has happened here in Zacchaeus' life. This man has spent all his life getting in money, stealing from others. But now he's going to spend his life giving it out. He's now doing what God wants. He's now obeying God. Zacchaeus was living for himself in the past. Now he's going to live for God and not for himself. There's change. And there will always be change whenever someone follows Christ. Now, not everybody is called to do what Zacchaeus is called to do here because that was his particular sin. That was his particular idol. But the change is determined by our previous behavior. The way we behave in this particular area, in my particular sin or idol. Change is determined by our previous behavior. If you've been a lying, swearing, thieving, drunk, dragatic, then the change will be dramatic when you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you've been a respectable and believer, the change will be less dramatic. Of course, the same work of the Holy Spirit will be working. But there will be certainly a change in your life. And when we have an encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ, there will be change in our lives. If anyone is in Christ, says the Bible, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when there is a new nature, there is a new behavior. And if there isn't a new behavior, then probably there haven't been a new nature. Well, let's just conclude, and there's just few things to say as we conclude. Christian friends, are you having a daily encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? Encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ in fellowship, fellowship of quiet time, fellowship or encounter in service, encountering in lively anticipation of what he might do. Who is the most unlikely person that you think of when you think of someone becoming a Christian? Don't give up. Don't give up. You never know. Don't stop praying. You do not know what God may yet do. And friends, if you are unsaved this morning, if you are unsure how you need an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you that if you don't have an encounter with him now, you will have another encounter with him on the day of judgment. Well, what an encounter that's going to be. What an encounter that's going to be on the day of judgment. Sometimes sinners, you know, they run away from Christians. They don't like Christians, particularly when a preacher comes nearer to them. They say to each other, we better get out of the way. And sometimes they don't like it. And if you find yourself, if you find it difficult to be with Christians here on earth, what is it going to be like to face God? It's appointed for man to die once, but after this, judgment. Imagine having an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ as your judge, while you could have an encounter with him as your savior. I was once helping a church doing door-to-door in their week of outreach. And so I was doing door-to-door with one of the elders. And we did door-to-door in a really very posh area. And so when the door opens, my friend started introducing himself and introducing the church. And suddenly the man stopped my friend and he said, Now, before you go any further, let me tell you something. As you can see, I've got a lovely car. As you can see, I've got a lovely house. I've got a lovely wife. I've got lovely children. And I've got money. Wherever I want to go, I can go. So what I am telling you is this. What I am telling you is this. That I don't need anything and I don't need anybody. My good friend looked at him and he said, you know, you told us, you haven't told us a single thing which you have now and you will one day lose. It's all going, it's all on the way out. And friends, you are on the way out. It doesn't matter what you've got, you will lose. But I am telling you this morning about something that you can never lose. You remember Jim Elliot, 20 years of age, and died in Southern America on gospel service. He says this, he's no fool, he said, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Now listen to Jesus. I give to my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. I give to my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Keep looking up. Keep looking up. God bless you and help you and save you if you are not saved yet. And God call us to grow in grace if you are his child this morning. May God help us to live every day. May he help us to have encounters with Jesus Christ every day in our lives.